perfection. It's more than affection. Are you infectious? Yes, you are. Uncle Charlie, do the honors.
Baby girl, lips are red, they call you Maybelline.
Hey, how you doing?
Rock my world, if looks could kill you, knock me off my feet.
Ooh-wee. How you doing?
Can you kill him on the runway?
Yes, you can.
Can you hurt him with the long legs?
Yes, you can.
Can you make him every doorway?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
She's so infectious. She's dancing reckless.
Ooh-wee.
She's shaking bacon.
Dum dum dee. Dum dum dee.
She's so infectious. She's dancing reckless. She's in a
stage. So infectious. What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and my name is Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Broadcasting live from Los Angeles. Ready to chop up games. Shout out to everybody in the Ustream chat room. We're going to take some calls, but I'm going to chop up a lot of game today. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. And we're going to take a real quick commercial break. And when I come back, we're going to take calls and we're going to chop up game right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. So don't you move a muscle, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on, family? This is Tariq Elite Nasheed, and I'm going to be doing a live lecture in Philadelphia on July 5th, 2015 at the International House of Philadelphia. Now, that's at 3701 Chestnut Street, Philadelphia, 19131. Doors open at 6 o'clock. It's going to end around 10 o'clock. I'm doing a live lecture. I'm going to be chopping up a lot of good games, so I want to see your face in the place. That's July 5th. International House of Philadelphia. Get your tickets now at TariqLive.com. That's TariqLive.com. Guys, do you know that testosterone production drops by 2% when you hit the age of 30, and by 40 it takes an even sharper decline? Well, Elite Alchemy has you covered. They have dietary supplements that are known to increase free-flowing testosterone by 440%. They also have other extracts that are packed with vitamins and minerals that are believed to stimulate testosterone production and offer a heightened effect on male enhancement. You can get all of these benefits and more for the low price of $38.95. Check out Elite Alchemy's complete line of products by going to the website EliteAlchemy.com. That's EliteAlchemy.com. Use the coupon code FLEX for a 10% discount. Are you a startup business, a musician, a small business, an artist, or just an individual who has no idea on how to market your work and get it out there, but you would like to? Check out ThreeHeadedDragonMarketing.com. At ThreeHeadedDragonMarketing.com, they give you a video training course on how to get your product out there. You can work at home. You can be your own boss. You can gain control of your life. If you don't know how to get your product out there and market it online, Three-Headed Dragon Marketing is for you. Go to ThreeHeadedDragonMarketing.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What is up, family? We're back. We are back. Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I am your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as Tariq Nasheed. Don't forget, family, go to Amazon or BarnesandNobles.com. Get my books, The Elite Way, The 10 Rules Men Must Know in Order to Deal with Women, and also get my book, The Art of Mackin, the classic. That's available at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. You can go to either site and get those books. And for the ladies, The Art of Gold Digging, get that. That's a must-have for your repertoire. And don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. That's where you can get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. Ladies and gentlemen. Now, there's a lot of stuff I want to chop up game about. Let me see who's on the phone first before I get into what I have to talk about. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up, Kirk? This is Chris from Atlanta again.
What's up, Chris from Atlanta? What's on your mind, man?
Okay, I find that when I'm around white people in a like an academic setting, so when I'm in school or whatever, or in a work setting, I find that I get really like coonish. You know what I'm saying? Like smiling and extra smiling and grinning a lot, and it's like kind of like instinctual.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I know I get it. I know I get it from my mom. Now that I have knowledge of self, I'm trying to get out of that habit. And I was wondering if you had any advice on how to do that. And also, the white people that I work with and that I'm in school with now, they love me. You know what I'm saying? I'm that token dude now.
Yeah.
Because I've been smiling and grinning around them so much. And I've and whenever I try now to, like, get out of that and just be myself and, you know what I'm saying, be masculine or whatever, I can instantly sense them feeling different. Like, oh, shoot, like, you black. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so how would you suggest I...
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Get out of that habit.
Well, I get what you're coming from, where you're coming from, because right now we're in a system of white supremacy, which is a system designed to terrorize black people and other melanated people, but black people in particular. We're being terrorized, especially now, by systematic white supremacy, and we've always been terrorized by that. So when you're in a situation behind enemy lines, basically, where you're being terrorized, you have to come up with defense mechanisms around people who could potentially get your life ended. We know that, and I make this quote over and over again, and the quote has been circulating on social media, and the quote is, all black people, especially in America, we're one police stop away from becoming a hashtag on Twitter.
Exactly.
And those in the dominant society, they could make up a lie about us or say anything about us, and it will be believed. They will have the benefit of the doubt living in a white supremacist society. So as a way to make people in the dominant white society feel comfortable with us so that they don't turn on us and enact the race soldiers on us, we smile and grin and shuck and jive in order to seem as non-threatening as possible, because we understand being terrorized, if we're perceived as a threat, we could be taken out at any given moment.
Right.
So as long as you understand that part of the game, that'll help you out a little bit to help you understand why you're skinning and grinning, and just kind of wean yourself off that. You know, you're cordial. Okay. You can be cordial. You can be cool with everybody, but you ain't got a skin and grin. And again, okay, when I'm around people in the dominant society, I treat them just like they treat me. If they're cordial to me, I'm cordial to them. Like my neighbors, where I live, they don't really like me. I'm not too crazy about them either. But when I see them, I'm not skinning and grinning or whatever. I look at them the same way they look at me. So when you're around people, get your money now. Don't go out there. Don't go into the whole angry black man thing, because that's what they expect. They love the angry black man. Just be the logical black man. Go to work, go around them feeling how you feel. If you don't feel like skinning and grinning, don't skin and grin. And you ain't got to explain nothing to nobody. Just be yourself and just concentrate on your work. But don't become entertainment for the white supremacists, because that's what they want the black guy to become. They come around the black guy to start skinning and grinning and shucking and jiving and laughing and joking around the black guy at work. And you don't want to be that guy. So be about your money. Be about handling your business. Be cordial. But don't step around there to the coon section. You feel me?
I got you.
There you go. Thanks for the call, brother. Let me get one more call before I start chopping it up. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, Tariq? This is Jose in L.A.
What's up, Jose in L.A.? What part of L.A. you from?
I'm originally from Long Beach, but I stay in downtown.
There you go. What's on your mind, Jose?
Man, so I'm tripping on the fact that, you know, to be real, we're in a state of genocide, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not too far from Nazi Europe or even Rwanda or anything else. So what I want to know is this something we can fix from within, or is this time for us to reach out to the international community, the UN, what have you? Because there's laws against this kind of stuff internationally.
Yeah. We should be doing all that. That's what I've been trying to do. I've been going international and discussing what's happening. But the thing is, it has to be a group effort, because one person doing it won't have the same effect. So it has to be a group effort. Too many of us in the black American community, we want to ignore what's happening and turn up and party all the time and not take what's happening serious. And what's happening with us is a very serious thing. And it's time for us to get serious about getting a code of conduct and to get economic empowerment. I keep saying that until I'm blue in the face, but it all boils down to us getting our money game together at least. And it takes us to have we really need a code of conduct so that we can start making moves economically. Because, see, money talks. We can march and we can protest and we can say Black Lives Matter and all that. But when you start,
that's not really doing shit.
It's not doing shit. What you got to do, man, you got to utilize your economy. You got to utilize your money to get stuff done. And that's the one thing that we just refuse to do. So I don't know what it is going to take for us to finally wake up. How many times are they going to shoot us in the back? How many times are we going to get terrorized by cops lying on us and shooting us and killing us, black men, women, and children? What is it going to take for us to understand that we got to get our economic game together, stop all this, it's cool to be broke shit. We need money to move these politicians, to combat these police unions, because that's what they use on us. They use their economy. And
I mean, is it going to take FEMA camps and death squads, or how drastic is it going to get until people really wake up? And, I mean, legitimately, who is in the international community, who's going to back us up?
That's the thing. See, the thing, the United States is the most powerful, has the most powerful military worldwide. So the thing is, you got to, we all we got at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's cool to get allies. Now, we do need international allies. That's why I'm going over to Africa to chop up game. We need international allies. That's another thing we need. But at the end of the day, where we are, where we stand, we got to start building right where we are. We have the resources, we have the wherewithal, we just got to have the will to just organize and get a code. Just get a code of conduct. We get a code of conduct and get an agenda and start saying, okay, look, this is what we need. We need to be compensated as African American people for being terrorized and not be afraid to say we need to be compensated. We need reparations. We need funding for black businesses. We need federal protection. We need Barack Obama to say something. We need to say this stuff publicly. This is stuff
right. For black people, not just people of color and minorities. And
No, damn all that. We get all that kumbaya shit going on. All of a sudden, when it comes to saying, hey, we need to stop getting shot out here, we need people to speak up for us and help us to not get killed like this, we start talking about, well, what about the gay community? What about women? What about lesbians? What about Hispanics? We start talking about every other group. We start punking out. Punking out is for the birds. We got to stop the whole punking out thing and say, hey, we as black people, for the last 400 years in this country that our ancestors have built, we're being terrorized nonstop, and we just need to be compensated from it. We need to
That's
be
real
compensated.
Talk.
We just need to be compensated. And let's stop being scared to say that. We need to start saying, Obama, say something about it, and let's do something about it. All right? I'm going to talk about this on the show, man, but thanks for the call, brother.
All right, bro.
Yes, indeed. But for those who don't know, there was another brother, another black man named Walter Scott. Hold on, I'm trying to take this phone call down. There was another brother, another black man this weekend named Walter Scott. And I told brothers and sisters to watch out for April. The month of April is a doozy. The month of April, the white supremacists, they go all out in the month of April. This is like a holy month for the white supremacists. And they have been showing their asses for the month of April. This brother, Walter Scott, over in South Carolina, this brother was pulled over by this race soldier pretending to be a cop. That's what our brother Neely Fuller calls them, race soldiers. He was pulled over for a broken headlight, a taillight. I'm sorry. He was pulled over for a broken taillight. And he got into some kind of scuffle with the cops. He ran, and the cops shot him 8 times in the back. And unbeknownst to the cop was being filmed. Now, the cop didn't know that he was being filmed at first, I don't think. I don't think the cop, the cop didn't know he was being filmed, because after the cop shot the brother in the back, the police officer went and got a taser gun that had fell on the ground, walked it over to the brother, and dropped the taser gun by the brother. And the official report, and remember, the cop didn't know that this was filmed. Nobody knew that there was video of this. Shout out to the person who filmed this, and I hope that person is safe. I'll get on that in a minute. But understand this, family. The cop, by the way, after the video of the incident came out, the cop was arrested and charged for murder. And the police chief in the city that this happened in, he seemed very reluctant. You know, they was all the police officers seemed real down about having to do this. And even in the reports I see, a lot of people are acting, and I'm talking about those in the dominant society, a lot of people are acting kind of under the weather about this whole situation. Like, there's a reluctancy in going along with justice in this case. like they don't want to have to see this guy be prosecuted, but he has to be prosecuted because the way he shot this brother was in cold blood and it's on video. But understand this. The reason why this cop, out of the many, many cops that have killed black people in cold blood who are unarmed, the reason why this cop has been charged with murder, it's not just because there's a video. Remember, there's a lot of videos of cops beating black people and killing them. There's video of cops killing Eric Garner. But the thing is, the cops at the time knew that they were being videotaped. Because a lot of times when cops have the dash cams or the body cams and they kill a black person, the cops kind of know what to say and do when they kill an unarmed black person. They like to yell out things like, hey, get your hand off my gun. Hey, stop resisting arrest. That's what they did with Eric Garner. They were acting like he was resisting arrest and that justified killing him because they knew they were being filmed. See, they built their lie up in the process of the murder. So this is why they got off even when there's video. But this case is different. The reason why this cop got charged is not just because of the video. It's because the cop didn't know he was being filmed and the cop already built another lie before the video came out. So the cop had already told a lie that the guy was wrestling with the gun, trying to get his gun, and then he was scared for his life and he had to shoot the guy and the guy stole his taser. So the cop had already built up this big elaborate lie, and that cop was going to get off, by the way. The cop was going to get off. They were going to believe that this was just going to be another case of a black person shot. But unbeknownst to the cop, the video came out that proved that everything the cop said was a lie, and then they had to indict him. So the reason why he got charged is because of the lie he told before the video came out. So they might use him, they might use him as an example and punish him. And let's be very clear. Just because this cop got arrested, that don't mean he's going to get off. Y'all got to understand how white supremacy works. White supremacy, they have a lot of tricks up their sleeve. They might give that dude a slap on the wrist. They haven't come up with a good lie yet. They can still, hey man, this is in the early stages. They can come up with a good lie. There was one cop who shot some brothers, I think, in Ohio, and the cop said he don't recall shooting them. So the white supremacists, they get together and they build their lie, and then they'll roll with their lie. Just like they know Darren Wilson. They know Darren Wilson killed Mike Brown in cold blood. White people are, the white supremacists are not dumb. They understand that, but they roll with the lie. And another thing, a lot of these people out here, when you're filming these cops, you got to be careful. And I say be careful because not only are the cops potentially going to do something to you, but other white supremacists in this race war, because we're already in a race war. People talk about a race war is coming. We are already in a race war. Black people are getting gunned down on a regular basis. Unarmed black people are getting legally slaughtered in a so-called civilized, industrialized country on a regular basis, and it's based on race. It's not a coincidence that the majority of people getting shot down from all economic backgrounds, because they can't say it's just hood people, because this brother right here, Walter Scott, was driving in a Mercedes. So we can't just say that's going to happen to the hood people. All of us who are classified as black in this country are in danger because we are in a race war right now. We are in a race war. A race war is not coming. We are in it. When you get gunned down and killed on a regular basis like this, and all the people just happen to be black, there might be a couple of white sacrifices in the mix. But hell, even then, we've seen several cases where there's white people with guns shooting at cops and they still get taken in alive. But at this point, they're shooting black folks to kill so that you don't come back and sue, because a dead person can't come back and say, okay, this person planted a gun on me, or this person planted a stun gun on me, or I'm not really a thug. So they're shooting to kill now over traffic violations. You're in a race war. Let's just get that clear. We are in the middle of a race war. we're being attacked and it's racially based. It is not a coincidence that all of these black people are being killed who are unarmed, and it's not happening to white people or Hispanic people or gay people or East Indian people in the same numbers. But like I said, people who videotape this stuff, they got to be careful because, again, the white supremacists will target them as well. Just like the case of Eric Garner, the guy who videotaped Eric Garner getting killed, they've been targeting that guy. He's in jail now. They got him on some kind of humbug charge. They locked him up for some kind of minor infraction. And he came out saying that he's on a hunger strike while he's in jail because he found rat poison in his food. So even on the inside, they're trying to off that dude. I want y'all to look that story up. The guy who filmed Eric Garner, who did the videotaping, he's in jail now, and they're trying to kill that guy. They're trying to poison him. So the person who got this footage, he should be careful as well. And we got to start looking out for people who videotape stuff like this and bring justice. And I'm glad the guy who videotaped this, he did it in a smooth way. He wasn't on no attention-whoring bullshit like a lot of us do. A lot of times we start videotaping some stuff that could be used to bring justice later on down the line. And instead of using it the right way, we want to attention whore and be on there shouting and yelling, "World Star! World Star!" You're just being real coonish. Sometimes just be cool and just get evidence and gather stuff and just be real cool with it. And stop trying to bring attention to yourself. And the guy who did it the right way. But again, man, we are in the middle of a race war. This is a race war we are in. And just because there are calm areas in the race war doesn't mean the race war is not on. Unfortunately, we are behind enemy lines and there's no sanctuary for people who are classified as black. See, other groups, they have sanctuary, other so-called minority groups. See, that's why we got to stop. And today, all my melanoid people of African descent who are here in America, please stop using the term minority and stop letting so-called other minorities lump you in with them, because we're not immigrants. We're the only non-immigrants in this country. We actually built this country. We're not immigrants. And a lot of the people who are immigrants now, the newcomers, so to speak, we try to lump ourselves in with them, and they lump themselves in with us and gather all the benefits and all the things that we fight for and then turn their backs on us. See, every other group is in competition with us, and we're the only ones walking around trying to be on that kumbaya shit, and we get shamed into looking out for each other as being reverse racist, just like with that whole Black Girls Rock thing. Black women have been getting dumped on and shitted on by the media. So when black sisters want to get together and say, "Hey, look, Black Girls Rock," now the white supremacists get all bent up and out of shape over it because Michelle Obama went to the Black Girls Rock taping on BET. So people are like, "Hey, she's being biased. Hey, white girls rock too." You know, we know white girls rock. We hear about white girls rocking every day. In every magazine, we see white girls rocking. On television, we see rock girls, white girls rocking. In movies, we see the white girls rocking. And we always see sisters put in inferior positions. So we got to stop being ashamed and afraid of criticism from the white supremacists for looking out for each other. Because we all we got. But the thing is, man, it's getting deep with this race war. There's another video that's being circulated around of this guy who said he used to be a racist. This white guy, he calls himself the hillbilly something, the Dixie hunky something. He calls himself that. And there's a popular video that's been circulating of this guy. He said he's a former racist. He's a white guy. He said he used to be a racist, but then he did this video talking about how white supremacy exists and the white supremacists and white people are fearful of black people coming up and being successful. And He was talking about how white supremacy must go. We live in a white supremacy society. So he was saying a lot of stuff that Brother Neely Fuller's been saying, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing's been saying, that I've been saying, that everybody in Hidden Colors that we've been saying. That's basically it. And black people, we got a habit of when a person in the dominant society say something that we've been saying for years, all of a sudden we put extras on it. All right, we got a white supremacist admitting and owning up to white supremacy. Now, what is he and other white supremacists going to do about it? Just like Neely Fuller said, okay, you can acknowledge it, that's fine, but you don't get a C for effort. What are you going to do to rectify it? Because, see, you got to understand this, man. You know you're in a race war when the white supremacists, they're not even talking in code no more. They're getting bold enough to say, hey, look, white supremacy exists. Because they know now that black folks don't really have the will to do anything about it. So the white supremacists, they know. They're not even talking in code no more. Just like with this Michael Savage guy. There's this so-called conservative radio host named Michael Savage. And he just went full white supremacy recently. He's one of these guys who's like the government and the Illuminati. I don't know if he's on that Illuminati. I don't listen to his stuff like that. But I think he's one of those Alex Jones types, I think, who's all that the government is evil and all that old stuff. But really, when you peel back the layers on guys like that, you'll see their white supremacist views. So he came out and we did a story on MillinoisNation.org where he did a show talking about how you can only push the white man so far. The white man, the Barack Obama, they keep pushing the white man to rebel and react and retaliate against people instigating the white man. He was saying all types of crazy white supremacist stuff. He was like, the white man is a peaceful man, but you keep on pushing us, we're going to retaliate. This dude said this on the air. This Michael Savage. And you know Michael Savage is not even his real name. His real name is Michael Wiener. He's another one of those dudes, one of those ethnic people who, you know, they come over, change their last name, and then fall right in line with white supremacy. So Michael Savage's real name, his name is Michael Wiener. And that's another thing about these so-called immigrant groups and these so-called minority groups. A lot of these so-called minority groups, if they're light enough, they'll change their last name and fall right in line with white supremacy. Just like that East Indian dude, his sister, what's his sister's name? What is that East Indian guy's name? Where are my people at in the chat room? His sister's name is Mindy something. She's a real dark-skinned East Indian chick. She's one of those East Indian chicks that's all up in the white dude's faces all the time. She loves the white guys. And ain't nothing wrong with that, because I'm not trying to fuck with her. She ain't got no ass. Mindy something. What's her name? Her name is Mindy something. Mindy, what is her last name? I can't think of her last name. I was waiting on somebody in the chat room to give it to me. What is her name? Mindy Keeling, something like that. I'm real bad with remembering names. Mindy Kaling, something like that. But this Mindy girl, she has a brother. And I can't think of his name right now. What's the brother's name, chat room? Her brother is writing this book. He's an East Indian dude. He got a book he's coming out with called Almost Black. And he's telling this bullshit-ass story. And this story is circulated around where he's talking about how he pretended to be black in order to get some affirmative action benefits. How he got let into a school because he pretended to be black. He was talking about how he applied to all of these different medical schools as an East Indian Asian or whatever. Now, this dude, by the way, his name is VJ Chokalingam. I'll just call him VJ. I can't pronounce his last name. Chokalingam or something like that. And he's another one of these East Indian coons. Our so-called minority brothers. Again, and Mindy and her brother, they're two shades darker than midnight. They're black as hell. But some of these so-called East Indian brothers and sisters that we have. Not all of them. Not all of them, by the way. I'm not marginalizing the whole country of India, but a lot of people who come over here from India, they take on some of these racist views as a way to distance themselves from African-American people, because that's part of American culture. That's the common denominator of the dominant American culture, is how much you hate black folks. That's always been the dominant common denominator. That's why it was an East Indian dude down in Alabama somewhere. He was walking around. They thought it was black, and then the cops ran up on him. So a lot of these East Indian cats, they come over and they go out of their way to try to be extra racist to black folks in order to show out for the white supremacists. So this VJ dude, talking about he applied for all these schools and got turned down, and then he shaved his head and shaved his East Indian eyebrows down and all this old bullshit to look like an African American. Then he got accepted in some school, like the some university in St. Louis. And he was like, yeah, see, that just proves that affirmative action is wrong. I pretended to be black, and because I was acting black, that's why I got affirmative action benefits. And basically, he's ass kissing for the right wingers. All the shit he said, people are calling all types of bullshit on it. Because basically, the school he got admitted to was a lower level school, because I think he had like a 3.0 grade point average, something like that. So a lot of times when you apply to certain schools, other lower level schools will solicit you to come if you have a certain grade point average. So his whole story sounds very concocted. There's no evidence that he applied as an East Indian agent and got turned down from the school he was admitted to as a so-called African American. So basically, this is a whole facade for him to kiss ass to the right winger so he can sell his books and play that East Indian coon role that they all got from Gandhi. That goes back to Gandhi's little racist, hungry ass. That's why I check black people who like to quote Gandhi. Black people got to be very careful about quoting Gandhi. See, a lot of black people quote him because of Dr. King, but I don't know how much of his history Dr. King knew about. Gandhi was racist as hell. We broke his little ass down in Hidden Colors 2. You need to get Hidden Colors 2 and watch that thoroughly. But Gandhi was real, real racist towards black people, black African people. So I don't come around me quoting no Gandhi. Because, see, they got all that shit from the British. They want to be substitute white supremacists. And again, another East Indian coon, Dinesh D'Souza. He's another one. East Indian dude who has written several anti-black books, books about Obama. But even before Obama, he would write all these anti-black books, books like The End of Racism, and basically spew a bunch of white supremacist rhetoric. See, the white supremacists, they started to understand, we look real racist saying all this stuff ourselves, so we need to get some people so-called of color to regurgitate some of our white supremacist views. So Dinesh D'Souza is making a killing on the East Indian coon train. So now this VJ dude, he's trying to get his ticket on the East Indian coon train. That's why I'm cool on that whole minority shit. I ain't no damn minority. I'm a melanoid American, classified as black. And we, as melanoid Americans who are classified as black, we have a very unique and special relationship with this country, because we have a constitutional relationship with the country, and our ancestors built the country. And I get very offended by these little VJ dudes and all that, these people who come over, and all of these so-called immigrant groups. Let's just be real. If it were not for the youth in the early 1960s fighting for the civil rights of people of color, a lot of these folks would not be over here. African people over here, melanoid people, got hosed down, bitten by dogs. Brothers and sisters was out here fighting in the streets all over the country to get treated like humans here. And right when they passed the Civil Rights Bill in 1964, they passed the Immigration Bill in 1965. That's when all these people started coming over. All of these so-called minorities, especially a lot of Asians and so-called Middle Easterns and people from so-called Hispanics and Latinos, all of these people started coming after 1965. after we kicked in those doors. And a lot of times we kicked in those doors, we running around hollering about minority. They're coming over riding the minority train and then marginalizing the hell out of us, getting all types of set-asides and benefits and shitting on us and identifying with the white supremacists. So we're going to have to stop with that whole minority thing. We ain't got no friends. We are all we got. We're going to have to look at each other and get that hatred out of our system and stop with the dumb shit. Just like this is a story that's been circulating around our brother Kendrick Lamar, who has a real hot album, the To Pimp a Butterfly. He's spitting that hot fire. There was a story about him getting engaged to his, I think, high school sweetheart. Now, she's a light-skinned young lady. So then there was some story circulating about some chick who calls herself a dark-skinned activist, and I don't even know how this story got legs. But this person calling herself an activist, and she's not an activist. This person is basically an internet troll. And that's another thing. We got to stop elevating certain people in the black community and giving them the wrong type of shine. This person calling herself a dark-skinned activist was mad because Kendrick Lamar has a light-skinned fiance, and she was just making just a bunch of fake nigga outrage, basically. It was a bunch of fake nigga outrage, nothing more, nothing less. And it was from a chick who was basically an internet troll. And some of these female blogs, y'all got to stop giving shine and legitimacy to people who should basically be clown. Because women like that, they don't represent black women. People who just get out there spewing nonsense for attention. They make sisters look bad. Y'all got to stop doing that and legitimizing people by calling them activists. That woman ain't an activist of nothing. Nothing but an internet troll looking for a reason to hate on another black person being successful. Because we got to understand this. We got a lot of black folks who have this fake nigga outrage, who come up with ways to say, well, I'm not going to support Kendrick Lamar. He ain't going to get another dime of my money. That's what this chick was saying, because he has a light-skinned fiance. And I hear black people say that about other black people all the time. Man, I ain't going to give Tyler Perry no more of my money. I'm not going to give this person who's black no more of my money. Black folks always come up with ways to boycott other black people, but you will fight Asians and other people to give them their money. I saw a video earlier of a sister who was in a Asian nail salon out here in California. She wanted to get, she had like a 2 or 3 year old daughter, and she wanted to get her daughter's nails done. And the Asian lady at the shop was like, well, your daughter's too young. I don't want to do her nails. She's too young to get her nails done. And the store owner pointed to a sign, said, we have the right to refuse service to anybody. So the sister wanted to fight and argue with the Asian lady. And then they got into a fist fight. And I'm like, dude, we will fight people to give them our money, but we will boycott the shit out of another black person. We come up with ways to boycott, and we come up with bullshit, jive-ass complaints for other black people, because the bottom line, we just don't want to see another black person with money. We'll say some shit like, man, Tyler Perry, he need to make more conscious movies, man. He need to make more movies where he ain't shitting on black people and black men. Okay, then Tyler Perry made the movie Daddy's Little Girl, and motherfuckers didn't go see it. That was his least grossing movie. And just like with Hidden Colors, people sit up and talk about how, man, we need more conscious shit. We need more positive movies. Then you get Hidden Colors, and then people come up with every reason under the sun to bootleg it. So the bottom line, a lot of black folks deep down, you don't want to see another black person financially successful. That's what it all boils down to. So black folks come up with all types of bullshit, jive-ass, fake nigga outrage reasons to not support another black person. Cut that shit out. That's part of the code. We need to get that code in our system right now. Stop that. Because we're going to have to stop depending on the white supremacists for money. Because right now you are in the middle of a race war. And if you're dependent on the people who are waging war on you, you're done. So we got to get real serious about what we need to do in this system of white supremacy. Let me take one more call before I get out of here, family. Just one more call. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, Tony? This is Terrence Mata, Philadelphia.
Hey, man, what's going on? You coming to my lecture out there in Philadelphia on July 5th, where you can get tickets at TariqLive.com?
Yeah, I'm coming out there.
No doubt. Man, what's on your mind, brother?
My bad. I was calling really to ask about, you know, a lot of stuff going on with the media and the news and all that. You know, a lot of people, you know, speak on, you know, the coons and all that. And I was wondering, like, do you think black people would benefit knowing and speaking on the people that's kind of pulling the strings behind the coons?
Now, do black people do what now?
Do you think black people would benefit knowing who exactly are pulling the strings behind, like, the coons?
Well, yeah,
and stuff
it's,
like that?
Yeah, it's the white. That's why I always say it's, and even Brother Neely Fuller says we shouldn't shadow box. Meaning when we see somebody cooning, just call out the white supremacist who's pulling the strings behind him, because the coon is basically a shadow of the white supremacist. That's why I always, I don't take the people like Larry Elder, I don't take them seriously. I don't take them seriously one bit. I go straight for the person who's giving the coons a platform. I turn right to them and ask, okay, do you agree with what this person is saying? Because the white supremacists, right, they're very good at letting the coons do all the dirty work for them. And I turn right to the white supremacists and say, okay, do you agree with what this black person is saying? Because I want them to own up to their white supremacist views, not just pay some black person to regurgitate them. You feel me?
Yeah. Right.
Thanks for the call, brother. He need to get some sleep. This nigga called me up all sleepy. My Lord. But anyway, y'all check out melanoidnation.com. Make your donations to melanoidnation.org. I'm sorry. melanoidnation.org. Donate to melanoidnation.org. We got some great things we're going to get going. I'm doing the microloan thing this week. I'm gonna do the microloan. The first one we're giving to is to the Voodoo Wings people, because I like what my man was, the Voodoo Wings, I like what my man is doing. I want to see my man prosper. He's in Chicago. They need a lot of help out there. So we're giving the first microloan to my man at Voodoo Wings. Holla at me, Voodoo Wings, brother, so we can get this finalized. I got the paperwork I got to send to you, brother. And also, I got some stuff that we're going to put together over in Africa. We're going to get a Melanoid Nation location over in Africa. It's really time for us to build globally. And we talk about it, but it's time to be about it. We got to start doing things and setting specific dates. I'm going to go over to Africa in a couple of weeks. I'm looking into all of that now. So we're going to start setting up shop globally. And I'm talking about specific times, specific dates. We're getting it going, man. It's time to start thinking globally. We got to start getting international allies. We got to start thinking outside the box and doing something about this race war that's decimating us right now. Because right now we're just sitting ducks, and we're going to have to get action going. All right, let me get up out of here, y'all. Don't forget to join me on this Ustream, this Sunday's Ustream show. And don't forget to get tickets to join me in Philadelphia at TariqLive.com. Peace.